Good morning, everybody. Did you detect a slight delay there? That's okay. That's part of the plan, if you believe that. Hey, isn't it awesome to have Jocelyn back with us leading worship and Nate back there? I know many of you know they were in a really crazy and rough car accident. As she said, God saved their lives. Hopefully, they're on the miracle brag board. If not, we need to get them there. And I've got some good news for you. That's not the last miracle God has in store here at Joy Church. He's still doing them. We sang about, you know, God's not out of miracles. He's not done yet. And I believe the best is yet to come. So I would, that's what I believe. Sounds like you don't, but yeah, it's okay. I would think that's something to celebrate. Well, we are going to get started here with this new sermon series called The Final Countdown that Pastor Kathy's going to be leading us in. Before that, a couple things to tell you about. Next Saturday, we have community breakfast, and it starts at 8:30 a.m., and everybody's invited. Bring a friend. Let people know about it. It's free. It's eggs and bacon and usually some either pancakes or waffles, so be sure and come on out and bring a friend or tell a friend, and we'll have a great time together. It's really fun. If you haven't done it yet, it's really a good time. And then also, throughout the month of October, we are collecting non-perishable items for the 68 hours of hunger or in 68 hours of hunger. You see the slide. If you can bring items, the items listed, you can put them out here just by the cafe. There's a collection spot for that. Also, if you go there, if you're not sure and you don't have like photographic memory, you can pick up a little list of items that they need. I think they are very specific about what they're looking for. And so you want to pick up that list and, you know, throughout the month of October, bring a thing or two. And many hands make light work. Also, many people make a lot of food. So you don't have to bring a whole lot, but if you can bring something, that would be awesome. And then finally, there is a paint night coming up. So you can sign up for paint night right outside there in the Connection Hub. So be sure and do that. Kathy, come on up. And we thank you, by the way, for that gift and yes. Thinking about us for our anniversary. It's been awesome.
It has.
We're going to do 25 more, right? Then we'll see how it's going after that. Yeah. Well, I'm going to pray, and then we'll get started. She has been working on this, these sermons, this series for a long time. And I really believe God's going to be speaking, and so I'm not going to necessarily pray for Kathy. I'm going to pray for us, because I believe we need to have our hearts ready to hear what the Lord says. So, God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you're the God of miracles. Father, we pray for a fresh and new pouring out of your Holy Spirit in this place, Lord, on us, that we would be receptive to what you have to say. And God, we know that the best is yet to come. As we look at the future and the final countdown, Lord, we know that we're safe with you. We have hope in you. And God, we can always trust in what you have in store for us. We thank you for that. God, give us ears to hear what you would have us hear this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Well, good morning, everybody. There I am. Yay. Life groups also started this week, and our group was a little small, so we joined the game night, and what a blast. So if you want to do something fun, come out on Tuesday nights at 6:30. Community, prayer, games. It's just an awesome time. And Mike and I, we felt so blessed to be able to get away. It really was wonderful, but I say it all the time when we go away, I can't wait to come back. I enjoy the time that we're away, but there's nothing like being with you all on Sunday. So we do thank you for all the anniversary wishes. The older that we get, the more we appreciate every day that God allows us to be together here on earth with one another. And I also want to publicly thank Nate Perez and Bob McGann. They did an awesome job. Yes. So they both had great words for Joy Church, and we are so fortunate they're willing to use the gifts of preaching and teaching that God has given them right here at Joy Church. So our theme for this year, if you remember, is discerning God's word together. And that's what we've been doing in this next series that we're starting. It couldn't be more fitting for sure. So we're starting a new series. And Sarah, Mike's going to come up and bang his head like that. Finger. The final countdown, all about understanding the end times. And understanding the end times is not just about knowing what will happen in the future. It's about how that knowledge impacts our lives right now, today. So by studying eschatology, and that's a big word, but that's the part of theology that's concerned with death and judgment and the final destiny of our souls, the final destiny of humankind. And by studying this, we can live with a sense of urgency and purpose and hope, knowing that God's plan is unfolding, right, every minute. And not only is it unfolding, but we all have a part to play. So what is this series about, other than a great song or music to a great song? The end times, eschatology. In this series, we are going to talk about things. We're going to explore things, some real key topics such as the rapture, the second coming of Jesus, the tribulation, the prophecies in the book of Revelation, and I and believing that understanding all of these events is not only going to help us deepen our faith, but prepare us to live more faithfully and expectantly in our daily lives. So practically, what are we going to do? And let me just tell you, this is really, really awkward, because Mike said, he told a little lie. He said, Kathy's been preparing for so long, and actually, I haven't prepared at all for this series. Mike's been preaching, I love my church. The last several weeks before Bob and Nate were here, right? He was preaching that great series, and I've just been sitting around and eating bonbons. It's been great, because I've been thinking, well, we're going to get raptured before this series starts, so I don't have to prepare at all. Then we went ahead and we celebrated, went on our trip for our 25th anniversary, and we just love celebrating, because we know, like so many of you, marriage is hard. It is hard. We know that what we've walked through, and the only reason that we get another year is because of Jesus and what he's done in our lives. So we've been celebrating, and I haven't been preparing at all. I've just been sitting around, and I'm like, oh, I guess I'll have to wing it, because here I am, and we haven't been raptured yet, maybe next week, so maybe I won't prepare for next week. You know that's not true. Honestly, how silly would that be, and how foolish, and so many of you that know me know I would never not prepare and stand up here to be speaking to you all. And yet, a lot of people live unprepared. We're just going to wing it and wait for eternity. So God put on my heart, I want to say, you know, probably at least a year ago, doing a series on Revelation, on the end times, and I kept putting it off. I kept arguing with God. I kept saying, like, why? How can I get up here and preach on something that so many great preachers, people all over the world, have different opinions on? Many, many people disagree on a lot of this stuff, and I understand that there's so many different interpretations of what the Word says, different opinions on these topics. And I came to the realization that that's okay. My goal here, it's not to convince you of a particular viewpoint, but it's to explore these themes together and seek understanding and wisdom from God's word. The other thing is, I'm so mindful, not just today, but all the time, that there's so many of you here and watching online that are very new to Christianity. Some of you, you're just checking out this Jesus who we talk about and who we follow. And some of you have been on this journey your whole life. You know, way more than I do. I was talking with Mike and this week and telling him, I said, you know, I gave my life to Jesus over 20 years ago now, and I don't remember ever sitting under a teaching on Revelation or the end times. Now, I'm not saying I didn't, because I could have, but it must not have resonated with me because I don't remember it at all. So today, as I stand up here, it's going to be more of a teaching. This summer, I'm trying to learn how to play golf. So I've been hitting some golf balls. Mike and Jake play, and I'm like, well, I want to be part of what you're doing, so I want to learn how to play golf. And so I've learned the value of teeing up the golf ball. So at first I was hitting it, you know, just off the ground, and it would go 3 feet. And then I put it on a tee, and like, after I hit it and didn't just swing and miss, once I hit it, it went flying into the fairway. So it puts the ball in a place where I can launch it into the fairway and then hopefully onto the green. And so this sermon today is like me, like teeing things up for us so that we can launch into the things that we're going to talk about over the next 5 weeks or so. So it's a bit teachy, and there will be teaching throughout the whole series, but we're going to get more preachy next week, okay? Good with everybody? We're not trying to distract you. We're not trying to confuse you, and we are definitely not trying to scare you. We just want to teach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Pastors all over this world avoid teaching on this subject. And this is why, because every man, woman, dog, cat, guinea pig has an opinion about it. So if you disagree with something that I say today or over the next several weeks, Mike is available for all your questions. He'll be eating those bonbons and waiting for your call. There's a lot we don't know, guys. There's, you know, 7+ billion people who don't know exactly how this is going to take place. And no one, say no one, no one knows the day or the time. Jesus reminds us of that in his word in Acts 1:6-8. It says, it's not for you to know the times or dates. So our job is not to know the timelines of what's to come, but to be able to testify, to witness to what has already taken place. Not to speculate. It's like Jesus is saying to us, that's not your business. That's the Father's business. So keep that in mind. But we get to live with joyful expectation of the return of Jesus. I think we should say that out loud. Joyful expectation. That will help us not forget. And joyful expectation, but not with fearful speculation of the events that are leading up to his return. So right now, okay, I give you permission, all of you, permission to dismiss anything that I say over the next several weeks that doesn't sit with the Holy Spirit inside of you. Okay? Let it go. I recognize that we don't have a perfect lens on all of this. What's so important, though, is that we all commit to stay focused on the main thing, which is Jesus. I think it's kind of funny that there's so many people focused on figuring out this last book of the Bible, right? Book 66, Revelation, the very last book. Because most of us don't even understand what the other 65 books really mean. And Revelation, most of it is tying together the gospel narrative. It's revealing, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I agree with Mike, he says this quite often. Jesus tells us that the two most important things are to love God and to love our neighbor. And he says, I'm still working on that. So I'm not that good at it. So let's get that right before we start trying to understand all this prophecy stuff. There's many, many, many varying views on how end time events will occur. Here's a few with some big words. Full preterism. Every end time event in the Bible prophesied has already been fulfilled. Okay, that's what some people believe. Partial preterism. Some of what has been prophesied has been fulfilled. Futurism. All prophecies about end time are yet to be fulfilled. Amillennialism, that people don't believe that there will be a 1,000-year reign of Jesus on earth, and we're going to get to that. Pre-tribulation, which I'm in that ballpark, the church will be raptured, taken before the period of tribulation. There's people that believe mid-tribulation, the church is raptured halfway through. The tribulation is 7 years, and some people believe halfway through at 3.5 years, that's when people that have given their life to Jesus will be raptured. And then post-tribulation, that the church endures that whole time of tribulation. And then the last one, which is my favorite, confused as all get out. We have no idea. So just understand today that this is not a deal breaker. The church isn't divided over this. And so if you disagree, it's okay. So here's some things that we all as Christians agree on, most Christians agree on. Jesus will return. Jesus will judge the living and the dead. Jesus' kingdom will have no end. Will be raised to life and given new bodies. All who believe in Jesus will have everlasting life in God's presence. And those who reject Jesus will have eternal separation from God. It's really important that we stay on mission here at Joy Church to impact our communities with the Father's love. But the how and the when and what happens after, our whole view about that word I gave you at the beginning, eschatology, the end times, our understanding of it, it affects how we live today. And that's why it's so important that we talk about it. As I was preparing, and yes, I have been preparing for a very long time, I really felt that the best place to start is with prophecy itself. What is prophecy? Because some people don't even know what that is, and I learned some things about it for sure. So the definition of prophecy, the foretelling or prediction of what is to come, and I'll give you an example. Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." So that's a prophecy that has been fulfilled. But it was given or written almost 600 years before it occurred. So it's in the Bible, and it was told before it actually happened. And in my life, I'll tell you, years ago, before I knew Jesus, I was brought up Catholic. I believed in God, but I didn't know Jesus as my Savior. And I was in a very hard, dark time in my life, and I went with a friend of mine to what they called a fortune teller's party, like a house, like a Tupperware party, say, only fortune teller. And I really don't remember much of what this lady said because it really creeped me out. Even though I didn't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I believe that God was protecting me from getting involved in all that. So it was like a house party. She goes up in one of the bedrooms. You pay money and everybody has a chance to go have their fortune told or read. So I just want to, I say that because I want to be clear, that is not the prophecy that we are talking about. And that is evil. That's evil. Biblical prophecy. God is the only one foretelling us what is going to happen in the future, telling us what's going to happen before it even happens. Tarot card readers, palm readers, all that stuff. Trust me, it's evil. Stay away from it. You can look up your scriptures on it. Just Google it, but stay away from all that. Here's some interesting facts. 62 books out of the Bible contain prophecy. 62. So Ruth, Song of Solomon, Philemon, and 3 John are the only exceptions. So 94% of the Bible contains prophecy. My understanding is 31,124 verses of scripture are about prophecy. 27%, 8,352 refer to prophetic issues. And then 22% of all prophetic verses refer to Jesus' second coming. I didn't count them myself, but you get the drift. There's a lot. 333 specific biblical prophecies deal with Jesus' 2 advents. So 1/3 to his first coming and 2/3 to his second coming. So why, you say, why are you telling us all that? Why do we care? We're not going to remember all those numbers. Just remember, there's a lot of prophecy in the Bible. It's important because if we value the Bible and that's in the Bible, then we need to do our best to value prophecy and do our best to understand what it is that's coming, what's to come in the future so that we can live better today. Mike, could I have that water, please? Do you mind? Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Understanding prophecy, it's not just about knowing future events, it's about how this knowledge shapes our daily lives. I've said that in like 3 or 4 different ways, so hopefully you're getting the importance of it. So here's some things about prophecy. So it reminds us of God's sovereignty. It encourages us to live with integrity. It motivates us to share the gospel with urgency. God is never surprised by anything, and whatever he says he will do, he will do. He does it all. So in other words, prophecy shows us that God is sovereign, and all his prophecies either have been or will be fulfilled. Isaiah 46, 9 through 11 says, "Remember the things I have done in the past, for I alone am God. I am God and there is none like me. Only I can tell you the future before it even happens." Who can do that? Only God. "Everything that I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. I have said what I would do, and I will do it." When we know the one who declares the beginning from the end, we can live every day with confidence. Another thing, prophecy promotes the Bible's integrity. When we see the confirmation and the perfect accuracy of biblical prophecy, it boosts our confidence in God's sovereignty and his world, in his word. And we get to see that we can trust every word of his word. John 13, 19, Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you this beforehand so that when it happens, you will believe that I am the Messiah." And in John 14, 29, "I have told you these things before they happen so that when they do happen, you will believe." So not only did Jesus perfectly prophesy about the future, he was the fulfillment of prophecy. He was the descendant of Abraham and the tribe of Judah. He came from David's family line, and he was born in Bethlehem. His name was Emmanuel. He was born of a virgin. He based his ministry in Galilee, spoke in parables, and did wonders among the people. He was betrayed, pierced for our sins, crucified with criminals. After his burial in a wealthy man's tomb, he rose again. All those things. I have the scriptures down here in a lot in Isaiah and there's some in Genesis, lots of them. It was all prophesied ahead of time. No one on earth can even come close to fulfilling the 109 prophecies that were fulfilled by Jesus. And it brings us the utmost urgency, the utmost evidence to the integrity of the Bible, the scripture. Prophecy also, it protects us from false teaching. So knowing what the Bible says about the future protects us from being deceived. And as much as, you know, God wants to put us under this umbrella of protection, the devil, of course, wants to keep us out. And reading prophecy tells us Satan will eventually be thrown into the lake of fire. So he's defeated, and that helps us be victorious today and not accept Satan's attacks. Amen. That's a big amen. Prophecy prepares us for the last days. Not only do we see prophecy fulfilled in the Bible, but we see there's more to come. It shows us God has a plan, and there are phases to his plan, and the next phase is imminent, guys. It can arrive at any moment. Jesus told many parables illustrating the importance of being prepared for his coming. In one story, it was about a master of the house, some of you know it, who had been robbed. And if the master had known when that thief would come, he would have watched, right, to prevent that robbery. And the lesson that we learn is be prepared. Always be ready for the rapture, and we're going to get to that later. But it will be as unpredictable as a thief in the night. Constantly in our world today, we hear about wars and rumors of wars and, right, natural disasters. Look at the hurricane. And so all these things are happening. They're all signs. We are told that they will occur, that they would occur. But Jesus, he told his disciples to be sure that they would anticipate these events, that these would be signs of his return coming, his second coming. And Jesus also tells us so many things so we can remember. He told us that they would happen. He tells us them in advance that we would remember that he said that. John 16:4 says, "These things I have told you that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them." So prophecy, it gives us a guidance for today, even though when we talk about prophecy in its nature, it's focused on the future. It gives us guidance for today. And we read in Revelation many times, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." He's saying, listen up, guys. I have something important to say. Charles Dyer, a prophetic scholar, says, "God gave prophecy to change our hearts, not to fill our heads with knowledge." Like everything he does and everything he has given us, it's to change us. He doesn't really care who can spout off scripture off the top of their head. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to memorize scripture. You memorize scripture, that's a great thing. It's in you and it comes out of you. But God isn't like saying, oh, like she can do that. And he can't do that. And, you know, this comparative thing, he's like, whose heart is changed? Whose heart is changed? And when our hearts are changed, our behavior changes. We start forgiving more quickly. We love abundantly. We have mouth management. Anybody remember that series? He gave us prophecy to help us anticipate what is coming and then to equip us for living in the world of the end. Prophecy promises spiritual blessing. This is so cool. The book of Revelation, it's the only book of the Bible that promises a reward to its readers. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. That's Revelation 1:3. And then in Revelation 22:7, blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. So our Bible, it's a guidebook. It teaches us the sequence of events leading up to the return of Jesus. And it's for today. It's knowledge. It gives us knowledge of what's to come. And it will benefit us when we study it and allow it to influence our choices for today. Any way you look at it, Jesus is coming soon. We're servants of the Most High God, and he has given us work that is critical, critical in nature. And when he comes, will he find us living wisely or foolishly? Ponder that. And again, no one knows the day or the time, but each day, each breath is one day closer. So, summary of what's next. We're living in crazy times right now. I don't have to tell you that. You don't have to look far to see the events that are taking place, unfolding right now in our lifetime. The war in Israel, the Mideast unrest. God has a plan for the future and for eternity. And in order to look ahead, we look back. There's a definite sequence of events, and it starts with what has already happened. Right? Jesus, he came to earth. He was born of a virgin. He was fully man and fully God. He did miracles. He taught his disciples. He told them things that would happen before they happened, and then they happened. He was crucified, a horrific death on the cross. He took on all sin, past, present, and future. And he suffered more than we can wrap our heads around. He died, and God raised him from the dead 3 days later. And all of that is referred to the first coming of Christ. And then next comes the church age. That's what we're living in right now, guys. The time between the first coming of Jesus and the second time. He will come again, but he hasn't yet, and we're all living in this time right now. Next comes the rapture, where we'll all be caught up in heaven with Jesus, all those that, who have died that have believed in him. And Jesus doesn't come fully to earth this time. We're going to be taken up into the air where he is. But he comes, it's important to remember, he comes for his church. Then after the rapture, there's going to be a period of 7 years, a period of great tribulation. We're going to talk about that after the rapture, and that's probably going to be the hardest session of this series. He's pretty clear about what happens during that time. And then the second coming of Jesus takes place, where he comes with his church. And we have a 1,000-year reign. There's the great white throne judgment, where Satan and demon fallen angels, unrepented sinners, are eternally separated from God. And then there's the incredible new heaven and new earth. The rapture and the second coming of Jesus are not the same thing. The rapture is when Jesus comes back to take us, his people, back to heaven with him before, and this is what we believe, before the tribulation takes place here on earth. And then after the tribulation, the Bible says he comes, Jesus comes with all the people of God, with all the angels, and he sets up his kingdom on this earth. Two separate events. And here's where many people get confused. There are no signs that have to occur before the rapture takes place. This really got a hold of my heart while I was studying. The rapture can happen anytime. And that's why I put that joke at the beginning. Like, that's, it could happen anytime. Anytime. And we're going to go into that a lot next week. The Bible tells us, Jeremiah tells us about all the signs that are developing concerning Jesus' return. And then in the next breath, he says, and nothing needs to happen before Jesus comes back to take us home to be with him. It can happen anytime. The New Testament is filled with signs that will occur for the second coming. So if there are signs for that, and the rapture is 7 years before that, think about how close that can be, guys. We know the rapture's coming too, and it can come anytime, anytime. And let me tell you, we need to start living like that. These are true facts. Anytime. Any time. The worship team wants to come. When we see that many of the prophetic things are happening, the regathering of Israel, the collection of the nations of Europe, and we see all the signs of the earthquakes and the wars, the natural disasters, we know that it's coming soon. And then remember how we started, right? The Bible is so clear that nobody knows. Nobody knows the exact time. Matthew 24:36 says, however, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. The two comings of Jesus are like bookends to the end times. And I want to tell you, I have been using many, many resources in addition to the Bible for this series, and I highly recommend a few. First of all, anything by Dr. David Jeremiah. Anything. It's great. This was my favorite. It's called After the Rapture. So, so good. And it's written, like if you're thinking like eschatology, words, big words, you know, all those things, it's written in a really easy way to understand in an orderly way of the things that are going to happen. Let's see. I have a Revelation Bible study that's also by Dr. Jeremiah, The Great Disappearance. And then Max Lucado has a new book called What Happens Next. And he also has a series on Right Now Media. So if you're not familiar with Right Now Media, it's a free tool from Joy Church. You can go out into our connection area and you'll see how to get connected with it. You can do that study for free. It's awesome. And then I also recommend Greg Laurie, who has some great things out there. These are all great preachers who have been spending their lifetime studying biblical prophecy. I have not, but I am enjoying it so much, and I am learning, and I am teaching you at the same time what I am learning. As Revelation tells us, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Read your Bible, guys. Read prophecy. all of it, even the parts that you don't understand, because it's telling us right here, doesn't say, blessed is he who reads and understands. You're going to have questions. There's a lot to all this, but read it. And that's where I'm going to leave you today. The most important thing for all of us to get during this series is to remember that God is good. Amen. And he wants us with him forever and ever. We get to make the choice in our lives to follow him, to make him Lord of our lives. I was listening to something this week that talked about, like, it's one thing to say yes, Jesus, and receive him as Savior, right? Knowing we're going to spend eternity with him. It's another thing to make him King, Lord. Everything we do is submitted to him. We want him to speak to us in all of our decisions, making him King. And when we do that, when you know that he's your Savior and he's your King, there's not a thing to fear. Nothing to fear. So let's bow our heads today, if you would. And for those of you that would say today, I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, there hasn't been that point in time where I've surrendered my life to him. And today, as we talked about prophecy and what's coming, I'm not sure where I stand. I'm not sure. Well, you can know for sure. And I want to lead you in a prayer in just a minute. And at Joy Church, we never like people to have to be feel like they're singled out. So we all come together, we pray together. But if that is you, and you want to make a decision today, the best decision that you can make, and you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to pray this prayer. Just pray it after me, either quietly in your heart or out loud. At Joy Church, we pray it out loud. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I surrender my life to you. Be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I give you my life today. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I want to spend eternity with you. Amen. And just keep your heads bowed today, your eyes closed for a minute. I'm just going to be the only one looking around. And if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, would you just raise your hand so I can see it, so that I can pray for you? I want to pray for you this morning. Thank you. I see your hands. I see your hands. Lord Jesus, I thank you for those who just gave their lives to you for the very first time. Those here in the room and those online that I can't see. Thank you for filling them with your Spirit, for saving them from their sins, and for empowering them to live their lives fully for you. Amen. Amen. As we leave today, let's commit to that at the beginning I told you, joyful expectation. Amen. And readiness, joyful expectation and readiness for Christ's return. Let's share the good news. Let's serve others. Let's live out our faith daily and boldly, knowing that each day, each breath brings us one day closer to his coming back. Right now, right here on earth, as we wait for him, our job is to tell others about him, to testify to his goodness, to invite others to hear his word and to know the truth, because the truth will set you free. Free. This topic is so important. I hope that you will make it a point to be here every week of this series and bring somebody with you that needs to know. Invite them. We love you. We love you, Joy Church. There's nothing you can do about it. And the best really is yet to come. I'll see you next week.